Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the most prevalent, if you will, causes of automobile accidents is distracted driving. Distractions occur. Driver takes his eyes off the road, look at something else. It could be to talk to a passenger. It could be searching for something on the radio, looking for something, you know, to eat in your car. People do makeup in the car, whatever. Sometimes become drowsy. But more frequently, it seems that people are being distracted by their phones. There's a little survey here of asking people, I think this was just a couple of years ago, to what degree do you think distractions on your mobile device impair your ability to drive safely? It's pretty tough question. Impair your ability. So you can understand why a lot of people are like, no, I'm fine. But even still, more than 37% say that they believe that their cell phone is a distraction while they're driving. And the statistics further on this site, I don't have them for you on the screen, but say that the results of distractions are devastating. Each year, nearly 400,000 injuries and 4,000 deaths come from car crashes, just car crashes, involving distracted drivers. Why do I mention all that? Because tonight we're going to talk about another kind of distraction. It's even more deadly, spiritually deadly, because it's the result of being distracted away from our God, taking our focus off of God, when we're carelessly drifting away from God. It all happens when we're tempted by things that turn our focus away. The Bible calls this distraction temptation. So today is mercy in temptation. And during this whole season of Lent, we're trying to focus on Christ and His cross. I love that we have the 6 weeks dedicated to just focusing on what the cross means, why Jesus went to the cross, and in particular, how our life is different because of it. And so this whole series talks about the mercy that we find, how our life has changed, and tonight even in particular, how we're changed when we face temptation, those things that distract us from God. So we're going to be looking at the reading that Kay read a moment ago from 1 Corinthians 10. And what we'll see in there as we go through it, three different insights that are relevant to temptation. And I would say the first is that temptation is persistent. It's constantly around us, continually seeking to distract us from God. Apostle Paul says this, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful so that you don't fall. Right? In other words, don't let your guard down. Temptation is always around. It catches you when you least expect it. Don't be overly confident. Temptation is right around the corner lurking. The reason that temptation is persistent is quite simply because the tempter is persistent. Satan and his demons, they do all that they can to seduce you, me, all of us, to sin. And so in our text, the apostle describes ancient Israel. That's what's going on here when he says, now these occurred as an example to keep us from setting our hearts on evil as they did. That's who he has in mind, ancient Israel. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written. People sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And one day, 23,000 of them died. He goes on to say, we should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did, and they were killed by the destroying angel. Right? Don't fall into these temptations. And just really quick to tie it into our gospel reading this evening, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, in Matthew's gospel, you see that the devil didn't stop with just one temptation. He was very persistent. Three times tried to get Jesus to, you know, worship him and to reject who he was as the Son of God, or who he is as the Son of God. So he tempted him over and over again to go against God's will. So even today, Satan is tireless. If he can't get you in one area, he'll try another until he finds something that you're vulnerable or weak in. And he'll place many temptations in your life, kind of like a distracted driver, anything that will take your focus off of God and his desires for you, even for a moment. Have you heard of ADD or attention deficit disorder? You may know it as squirrel. Anyway, if you saw the movie, that's a little... I don't even remember. Anybody remember what the name of that movie was? Up? Upright, yes. Squirrel. It's just... Sometimes I think that's how it defines... That defines my life. And the distractions can be harmless, you know, like you're going in the kitchen to get a drink of water, and somewhere along the way, you see the pile of mail, and so you start going through the mail, and then you don't realize it, but you set down your glasses, or you set down your keys, or something right there, and then next thing you know, even after you get your water, now you're looking for your keys, and you completely forgot what you were doing when you left your desk. So, you know, been there, done that. These can be sort of benign distractions that waste our time and sap our focus. But when we're talking, what we're talking about tonight is the enemy is much more disastrous in what he's trying to do. And his distractions are much more dangerous than just trying to get you to waste time, although that can in itself be a spiritually, depending on if this is time that you're supposed to be spending with God, his temptations are just to try to get you to pull you away from the Lord, and he'll use your physical appetites and your lusts that might cause you to violate the sixth commandment of sexual purity. He might use temptations in the area of gluttony that, you know, to violate your body as the temple of the Holy Spirit, or you may be tempted to escape the stresses and the troubles of life through things like substances, alcohol, drugs, or electronic media, or the temptations that face you may come from the world, right? Luther always talked about the world, the flesh, and the devil. Temptations come in so many different ways. You know, our flesh, I mentioned some of those. Satan's literal attacks as he puts opportunities in your way. And then the world itself, just to be seized with the temptation for control or greed or power or possessions, on and on. Speaking of the temptation to lust after possessions, it makes me think of a woman once who was in a clothing store. She had tried on a very nice dress that was really out of her financial range, but she was very tempted to buy it, and she knew that. And so, you know, as she's looking at herself in the mirror, she says, "Get behind me, Satan," because, you know, she didn't want to buy this dress. But then she heard a devilish voice from behind her, and it said, "Looks good from back here, too. Go ahead and buy it." The devil's persistent. He's creative. He's cunning. He'll tempt you in so many different ways. A speaker I heard once said that he is a custom-designed, tailor-made tempter. Your temptations may not be the same as mine. Mine aren't the same as yours. Yours aren't the same as somebody else's. He knows how to tempt us in a way that fits our personal weaknesses, either our personality or just where we are in our stage of life. So my question for you to keep in mind as we're penitentially observing Lent, doing some deep soul searching. The idea is to come to Easter all that more thirsty for the forgiveness that we receive in the cross. So the hard question for this evening tonight is, where is the enemy tempting you? Because temptation is persistent. The next thing that we learn from this text is that temptation is progressive. Excuse me. It's not only persistent, but it's progressive, meaning it starts small and it becomes worse and more deadly as it progresses. We see in verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man." And it gets to the point where it starts out, it's just a temptation, but it can literally have the potential of overtaking us. And we saw this kind of progression. I'll just go back to it really quick. I shoved it all on one screen so you could kind of see the progression, albeit in reverse order, which is kind of a thing sometimes Hebrew writing would do. Start with the worst. Don't be idolaters as them. That was, you know, a violation of the commandment. Sexual immorality, another commandment. Just even testing Christ, even grumbling against God. So the progression is really in reverse here. The grumbling led to the testing, led to the immorality, led to outright abject idolatry. Don't do any of them. But Paul starts with the worst and goes to even sort of the least of these. Even just being tempted to complain and grumble against God. So the idea what we're talking about in this point here is temptation begins subtly, but it grows in its destructive power. So if you take the example of the sin of adultery. It can start simply with an attraction to someone who's not your spouse, and you think, well, you know, it's just dinner, or it's just a conversation, it's no harm done. And then it can progress further to lust, and you say to yourself, I can handle it. And then the next temptation is, you know, to go further, and you maybe hear that voice say, well, just try it. And the next thing you know, you're entangled in an affair, and it's destroying your marriage. That's just one example of something that started out small, which is why you and I, we will often pray for a hedge of protection to keep us from even crossing that line with the very first step. You and I need to be careful, because temptation can snowball into something that is, continually worse and may even entrap or engulf us. Ralph Waldo Emerson said it this way: sow a thought and you reap an action, sow an act and you reap a habit, sow a habit and you reap a character, sow a character and you reap a destiny. Actually, Stephen Covey said it similarly. And James, the brother of Jesus, says it this way. This is the more, really, the spiritual version of this. After desire, that's the thought, you will, right? And then the action is the actual sin. After desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Temptation is progressive. As inch by inch, it can lead you and me away from God. You know, and on Sunday, I mean, Sunday we're doing a completely different series. You know, we're doing Being Challenged on Sunday. But it's really about putting those habits in place so that you and I stay close to the Lord. So it fits. It fits with this. Stay close to God. Because danger, temptation is lurking. And the truth is, each step that we take into temptation, it gets more difficult to get out of temptation. So we just want to be careful of that. And how about we spend our time doing the things that are really far from temptation? All right, so far this isn't a very hopeful message about temptation, right? It's persistent, it's progressive, it gets worse and worse, can take hold and mushroom out of control and even overtake us in our life. Well, there is one more thing that the Apostle Paul says in this reading today that gives us hope, and that is victory over temptation is, in fact, possible. It's not only persistent, it's not only progressive, but there is victory, and victory is possible. He says it this way as he concludes the same section that we've been looking at. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And where's the focus of this? We're focusing throughout this whole Lent. I want to make sure that this message isn't just about us and about the devil. All right, we're here. We spend way too much time, I think, focused on us. And I think it's foolish to not be aware about the enemy, but we don't want to spend all our time talking about him either. So where is God in this? Well, who's the doer of all this action? God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted. And when you are tempted, he will provide a way out. And we, of course, know that the way that he did all of this is through his Son, Jesus Christ. I talked about this on Sunday when I was talking about the temptation that you and I might have to think, I can't put these good habits into effect because I'm stuck in all these bad habits. And I said, that's the enemy speaking that wants to keep you trapped. But the truth is, Jesus has freed you from it. He has made a way out for you. And so here we are talking about it from a different perspective this evening. Jesus, we saw in our gospel reading tonight, actually on Sunday, the gospel reading of Jesus' temptation was taken from the gospel of Luke. Tonight we're looking at it from the gospel of Matthew. Slightly different wording, but basically the same story of what happened to Jesus. He was in that wilderness fasting for 40 days, which is times, it's why it's chosen in the lectionary, is because we're going through the 40-day wilderness, if you will, of Lent. And the devil threw all this heavy artillery of temptation at him. And actually, what really, this was in the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. After he came out of the water of baptism, boom, he was there being tempted. After you and I become Christians, boom, the devil is right there tempting us all throughout our life. The devil tempted him all the way along. He even tempted him in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was praying, Father, if this cup can pass me by, but not my will, yours be done. He would have been, I could have thought of any number of reasons not to actually show up there that evening when Jesus knew, of course, that Judas was planning to betray him. And then even right on the cross, as the one thief on the cross said, if you are the Son of God, interesting words, right? Same, sounds very similar. Call down your legion of angels and save us, mocking him as he was saying it, but speaking the truth nonetheless. That temptation was with Jesus throughout his entire life. And yet, the writer of Hebrews says, we don't have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our temptations. We have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. He went through all the same temptations for greed, for power, for selfishness, self-serving. But that's where the similarity with us stops, because Jesus is the only human that wasn't overtaken by sin, but instead overtook sin. He wasn't overtaken by temptation. He overcame it and wasn't succumbed to it. So in the face of temptation, Jesus prevailed. And he did it. He prevailed over that temptation, not just to claim that victory for himself, but to claim it for you and I as well. To credit his perfect and sinless life to our spiritually broken and sinful life. And even assuming the penalty for our sin, the penalty for our transgression, and every time we've fallen into temptation, the wages of that, we learn from Romans, is sin. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus paid those wages. So I just want to leave you, I guess, with this kind of summary. This is what we've been talking about, worded in kind of two final points. In Christ, we have victory over temptation, and it is in two ways. The first, forgiveness. When we sin, we talked about this last week, Ash Wednesday. Actually, we talk about it every single Sunday. When we sin, there is forgiveness, right? When you are tempted, he provides a way out, and that way out is to receive forgiveness. I love that we do this every service. We have some form of confession, and I hope you hear it, and I hope you receive it for yourself. Absolution. You do not need to walk away from here ever burdened by your sin. You might feel burdened to change your life, and that's wonderful. Please do that. You're not burdened by your sin. It has been taken. He has provided a way out for you. So that's the first thing. But the second, he says you can endure it. That's, we have victory because not only are we forgiven of that sin, but he, through the power of his Holy Spirit, we talked on Sunday, that same power that raised Jesus from the grave, that gives us the ability to say no to temptation. And not just because God wants to take our fun away from us, but because he doesn't want it to overcome us. He doesn't want us to fall into temptation because it's not good for us. And so he has empowered us to say no. So this message series, and I'm sure we're going to understand it more fully as we go week by week, but it's as simply as this, in view of God's mercy. So as we talked about tonight, driving along the road and the distractions, going through life, we have spiritual distractions. But when we view those spiritual distractions, we call them temptations. In view of God's mercy, we see that he has given us forgiveness for the time we fall into temptation, and he's given us the ability actually to say no. He makes a way out for us and the power to overcome it or to endure under it, however you want to say it. So, how do we do that? Well, we don't be distracted. We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Let us not be distracted or detoured from keeping our focus on Jesus, especially this Lent. May you daily find ways to draw closer to him and keep him in focus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Together we'll join our hearts in prayer. The response is a little different this evening. Almighty and merciful God, We approach your throne of grace this evening as those who are prone to wander into sin because of the temptation of the evil one. According to your unfailing love, Lord, when we face the temptations of the devil, who entices us to doubt and to deny your true word, keep our eyes on Jesus, who conquered Satan in the wilderness and on the cross. According to your unfailing love, Lord, when we face the temptations of the flesh, our sinful appetites and lusts, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who lived purely as our substitute and Savior. According to your unfailing love. And Lord, when we face the temptations of the world, our sinful pride, and the quest for more possessions, keep our eyes focused on Jesus, who provides for us all we need in this life and the life to come, according to your unfailing love. We praise you, Lord, that you are faithful, and that with every temptation you provide a way of escape. Fill us with your Spirit, so that we will say no to sin and yes to righteousness. Lead us away from temptation and deliver us from evil. Lord, grant me your grace both to will and to do what pleases you. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus, who triumphed over temptation. And so we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.